Amen. That is the go along with the sermon song. And honestly, we've been practicing that song, but I didn't really realize we were singing tonight. We don't usually do that this week, but since the Merrills are going to be here, I'd totally forgotten that we were going to sing this. And as we practiced during ensemble practice, I thought, wow, that is just perfect for the message tonight. We are in Mark chapter 4. Also thinking about college starting and everything. I was thinking Eric Feltman called the other day, and Eric's doing real well there at Grace Baptist. And Eric doesn't usually have a lot to say. He just called, Pastor, I'm doing okay. I'm working at McDonald's, making money. I finished this class. I'm doing all right. I have this many credits. Well, see you. God bless you. Bye. I mean, that's about how it is with Eric. And but anyway, just very positive. I mean, for Eric, very positive. And he's doing very well. And Mike Moorbach just left yesterday, I believe, to go to Grace Baptist. And so pray for him. And we're excited about that. And I believe this is Kara. Is this your last Sunday here for before school starts? Is that right? All right. So remember Kara. Going to Hiles Anderson, family's going to get away and go there, and then she'll start college, and several others going to Hiles. David will begin his freshman year, I believe, David Potter at Hiles, and then the famous, world famous, Mel and Zaya, they'll be going with Josh and Brandon back there. They'll be going down south very soon, and they'll teach the folks at Pensacola how to do skits, and I'm sure things, they will change the whole college. Maybe not, but and then I talked to Steve at the reception yesterday. He's not going back to college because he graduated, and him and Alyssa are glad, I think, that they're not going to college. And Joe, are you sad that you're not going back to college? No, I didn't think so, because he graduated as well, and I'm not going back to college, so. Anyway, anytime you see these college students before they go and you have an extra 5, 10, or 20 on you and you want to pass it on to them, it would be spent well, I think. Anyway, we need to support them in prayer, but I know several are struggling, maybe won't be able to go back this semester. We need to support them any way we can support them. And if we can, not everybody can. It's tough, but we're kind of excited when our young folks go on to college. And whether it's Bible college or whether it's college local or whatever it is, it is certainly a difficult thing, a lot of trials, a lot of problems. And we need to pray for them, and we also need to pay for them sometimes. Amen. Well, it's, yeah, all right. We're going to do what? You're going to be at the Welcome Center? Are you going to college? God bless you. We'll pray for you. Wait a minute. I have a nickel. No. All right. Praise the Lord. And that is exciting. It is exciting. It's such a blessing. Well, Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. I couldn't help but think every time we sing Pentecostal Power, it takes me back to my coaching days when I was a new Christian. And we were playing at a Pentecostal school. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know the difference between Methodists. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know. I didn't grow up in church, and I knew that some of the guys wrote, "Well, this is a Pentecostal school." I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, but yeah, you always kind of grab, like, well, this is it. All right, I had to check, make sure. But anyway, I didn't know what any of that meant. And the guy, they're all just kind of whispering, this is a Pentecostal school, and maybe they're going to speak in tongues, ha-ha, Well, anyway, the guys are all taking showers after the game. And all of a sudden, they kept saying, I said, well, Pentecostal, there's a song about Pentecostal power. And I said, hey, here you go, Pentecostal power in the shower. Hey, anyway. They did that all evening, all the way home. They were singing about Pentecostal power in the shower. And it was not spiritual, but anyway, I was young. Mark 4 and verse 10. This is just a great outline. I got so excited about my outline, but actually the things that are on it are very helpful as well. But I do like the outline. Mark 4, verse 10, the Bible says this, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. There's our word, mystery. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Now look at verse 33. The Bible says, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. We're talking about a time for learning, and we're learning about God's mysteries. This morning, we learned about the mystery in his methods and there are many things that we know, but there's a lot of things we don't know. And we have to take the things we know and trust him with the things we don't know. Because he's given us enough to know, we can trust him. And we can trust him with any method, anything he's doing in our lives, anything that's going on, we can always say, God, I trust you. We can know enough. But tonight I want to talk to you about the mystery in his message. Because there is a mystery. It talks about it here in Mark chapter 4. And it talks about verse 11. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so the mystery in his message. Father, I pray that you will guide us into your truth tonight and show us what you want us to know and help us to apply it to our lives. And then I pray that every one of us would become convinced that there's a whole lot more you want to show us, and that the way we're going to find that out is to get alone with you and to spend that quiet time, that quiet place, so that we can know all that you want to show us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God doesn't tell us everything. God's word tells us all we need to know. Doesn't tell us everything, though. It tells us all we need to know to get saved. You can be saved tonight. Talked about that this morning. In God's methods, God told us how he made it possible for us to be saved. Doesn't make sense to us. It never will make sense. It can't make sense that God would love me while I'm a sinner. I mean, it sort of makes sense if I was a good person, if I did all good things, but God loved me while I was a sinner, and he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. That just doesn't, but that's a mystery that God did tell me that he did. He said, I sent my son to die on the cross to pay for your sins. That's amazing to me, but it's something he showed me. But he showed me then, in his word, all I need to know to get saved. Praise the Lord. We give the plan of salvation out over and over and over, and it should never get old to you. Amen. You ought to just always be just ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear, and to give that plan out to people how they can be saved. And he told us. He told us everything we need to know, not only to be saved, but also to grow and be whatever he wants us to be. He gave us every step that we need to take. He told us to be saved. He told us about being baptized. He told us about our church and how we need to be in church and be faithful to our church. He told us about tithing. He told us about reading his word. He told us about prayer and all the things that we need to know so that we can be saved and grow in the Lord so that we can be used by God. But there's still a lot of mysteries in the word of God. There are a lot of things that we just don't know. And there's a mystery in his message. There are things in the message, the word of God, that we simply do not know. Notice verse 11, it talks about the mystery of the kingdom of God. And unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And we'll look at that. In fact, over 30 times, are you listening? Over 30 times in the New Testament alone, the word mystery or mysteries is given. There are some he wants us to find out. And we talked about that this morning. There are some mysteries that he doesn't want it to be a mystery. He wants us to understand. He wants us to know it. There are some that we're not going to know until we get to heaven. And we need to learn to accept that. But the text gives a little bit of a clue as to the mystery in his message. And in our text, it talks about a word called parables. We use that all the time, stories. A story used to explain a truth, that's what a parable is. 65 times in the Bible that word is used, parable or parables. And these parables are told, and Jesus was the master storyteller. He was the master at telling a parable. And so it's a clue here as to much of the preaching of Jesus. They were stories. He just told stories. He told parables. He used parables over and over and over and over again. And constantly he told a parable. And in my mind, I try to picture the people as they're looking at him like, I'm not sure I get that. Well, I get part of it. You know, it's kind of like we have some dumb jokes, okay? I don't know if you ever do this, where you get a group together and you tell a joke and you have just three or four, you tell them to laugh, and they laugh, and others are trying to, you know, they're looking at you, and it doesn't make sense. It's not even funny. But everybody's laughing. We did this at camp in Illinois, Brother Dave and I, and several teenagers, you know, they're watching, and they don't know whether to laugh or not. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. And you're telling this, and you tell this joke, and then you tell it a different way, and three or four more, oh, yeah, I get it. And pretty soon there's other, oh, yeah, I got, well, and once they'll say, well, I got part of it, but I wasn't sure about that part. And it's stupid. It doesn't even make sense. But, you know, people just kind of go along, it has nothing to do with this, but I just thought I'd tell you about it. But you know, these parables, there were some, they'd say, well, Yeah, okay, I understand. But the key to the whole thing, he's telling the truth, he's preaching a parable, and some, they walk away, this doesn't make sense at all to me. Of course, I really don't care. And some say, well, it makes a little bit of sense, but it's not, I know there's got to be more to it, and they walk away like that. But then some, they find themselves with him. Alone. And he tells them all things. Now, here's the challenge tonight, and that is this. The mystery in the message, you're not going to get it haphazardly. You're not going to trip over it. It's not going to sneak up on you. You're going to have to get alone with him to get everything he wants you to get. The casual Christian is going to miss a lot of what he has to say. Not because it's not written down, but because it requires, God, I need to be alone with you. The casual Christian, certainly the carnal Christian, they're missing a lot of what God has to say because they don't want that quiet time with God. Four things, and I think you'll understand by the time we're finished here. Number one, the lost majority require materialism, which excludes the truth. You ought to write that down, really. It's a great outline. The lost majority require materialism, which excludes the truth. In other words, the unsaved, they cannot grasp spiritual truth. And so Jesus' parables, the Bible talks here, verses 11 and 12. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without. There's a group of folks, they don't want it. They want money, they want things, they want popularity, they want what the world has to offer. They do not want their life changed. They do not want spiritual things. He says, them that are without. He said, all these things are done in parables. Why? That seeing they may see and not perceive. They see it just like anybody else sees it. Okay, there's the parable. I see it. I see it. Okay. But they don't get it. Hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. And again, he's not saying we don't want them to be saved. He's just saying they don't want to be saved. And therefore, they don't get it. Lost people cannot understand what in the world we're singing about. Be still and know that I am God. And they look at you like, yeah, but how much money does that make me? Yeah, but how good does that make me feel? Yeah, but I don't see how that could possibly take care of my problems. But I don't see how that's fun. They don't get it. Unsaved people are not looking for spiritual things. They're looking for materialistic things. Materialistic things are things of the body, not of the spirit. Things that please the body, things that make the body feel good, that's a materialistic thing. They're not interested in the things of the spirit. By the way, that's the majority of the world, and it has been since the beginning. I mean, it always has been. We're talking about them who are without, those who are lost. I'm going to say 90 to 95% of the world, they're not interested. And the parables, the preaching of Jesus, and by far most of what he had to say, most of the people, they scratched their head and said, I don't get it. Boy, what's everybody gathering to hear him for? You know, well, somebody said, oh, I came to be healed. What's that? That's the body. Well, I came to get money. Yeah, that's the body. Well, I came because I thought I could be a big shot. Yeah, that's the body. The lost majority require materialism. That's what they're after, which excludes the truth. The truth could be right in front of their eyes. It could smack them upside the head. They don't get it. Come on, you work with people like that. It doesn't make sense. What are you people talking about? You're having a church work day? What is that? What's wrong with you? You work on a bus? What do you mean you work on a bus? What is working on a bus? You took time off to do vacation Bible school? You're going to the fair and doing what in a tent? And they don't get it. You know why? Because, okay, I got to try to figure out, how are they making money off this tent? That big guy, that guy that tells everybody what to do back there, Chase is his name. What does he really want? What does he really, why are they serving Kool-Aid? What are they really trying to do? Sir, we just want to tell people how to get saved. Sure. Sure you do. Sure you do. We just want your children to ride our bus. Why? Why? What are you after? Why are you after my kids? I know my kids. What do you want with them? They don't get it. I'm amazed. I'm always amazed at the bus ministry. It is, to me, it's the most miraculous ministry because it doesn't, I just cannot believe people send their kids on a bus. But they do, praise the Lord. And we can tell them the truth. Again, the lost majority require, they're looking for materialistic things. They're looking for feelings and what feels good and all that, and excludes the truth. They can't grasp it. Their only interest is material things, not spiritual things. Isaiah 6 and verse 9, look at it. Isaiah 6, keep your place here in the book of Mark, but because we'll come back to it. Isaiah 6 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. And that's exactly what Jesus said. They rebelled. They refused. They rejected the Word of God. And the result, the most obvious stories Jesus told, they couldn't get. It was because their refusal to listen to God. They didn't want it. They rejected. They didn't care. I'm talking about the most obvious story, a parable. A child could understand. They couldn't. By the way, we see it today. Seriously, how hard, and this isn't a parable, but it's just Bible truth. In the beginning, God created How easy is that?
Well, now, you know, I want to know exactly how. We need to analyze this. We need to duplicate it. Well, you haven't duplicated evolution yet.
But it's just the most simple. Come on. I mean, a little child. Okay, Poindexter. Here's how we all got here. In the beginning, God created everything. Amen. And Poindexter gets it. He really does. And PhD says, I don't get that. Really? You don't get that? No, I don't get that. What don't you get? In the beginning, God created.
When was the beginning?
It was at the beginning. And little Poindexter looks up and says, because he gets it. But PhD doesn't get it. Now, does that mean PhD is not smart? No, PhD is smart enough to get a PhD. But what is he? He hears, but he doesn't understand. He sees, but he doesn't perceive. And honestly, it is the lost majority because they're not looking for spiritual things. Because if you include God, there's something spiritual going on. If there is a God, we got to meet God. That means we have to prepare for God. And honestly, 90 to 95% of our world wants nothing to do with that. And so they don't get it. They don't get it. And someone with a high IQ, someone with the world's wisdom, someone with a PhD or all the degrees in the world, they just can't grasp that. And that's why when you're soul winning and somebody really is not interested, you talk about salvation is the gift of God. And they say, explain that. Explain a gift? You started out as a little child. I know you got gifts when you were a little child. Did you ever have birthday parties? Yeah. I say, okay, your parents gave you gifts. Other kids came over and they brought you little toys and gifts and they got you things and you received gifts. What do you mean? Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? What did you have to do? Well, I just took the gift and then it was my gift. Okay, God said that's salvation. It's a gift. Now, do you know what to do? Yeah, but what am I supposed to do? Take the gift! Seems too easy. See how complicated they make it? And it's not complicated. Amen. I think more people go to hell because we complicate things than ever go to hell because of easy believism. Right. It's not that hard. But they can't grasp it because they see materialism. Here is the parable, all right? Verse 3. Back in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, hearken. Notice? Listen! All right? By the way, verse 2, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. He's teaching them by parables. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. All that. Does that make sense or not? Okay, so seed, by the way, the seed's perfect. Seed works. We know that later on because there's all kinds of goodies come forth from it. So you throw the seed out on stony ground. You throw the seed out by the wayside, and the fowls come. Okay, you can almost see them, right? Here they come. And they're flying down and they're swooping down. I'm thinking of seagulls and they're going mine, and they're swooping down and they take all the seed. Okay, that seed is going down into their bellies if a bird has a belly and into their gizzard and getting all ground up by the gizzard and it's not gonna sprout anywhere. Does that make sense or not? Makes sense. It ain't going to grow. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground. Okay, you ever plant a seed on a rock? How's it do? Okay, I know the rocks in the playground grow weeds very well. But seriously, it doesn't do very well, does it? See? It had not much earth, and it sprang up, but it had no depth, and the sun came up, it was scorched, it died. Makes sense. Some fell among thorns. Okay? Again, you know, I'm looking for a great place to plant my flowers, and oh, here's a thorn patch. Perfect. That isn't what we do. We pull up all the weeds and the thorns and everything, right? Because we want whatever we plant to grow. Makes sense. Other fell on good ground. Oh, good ground. Yeah, and did yield fruit that sprang up. You understand? I mean, I'm not even, I don't have a green thumb. Most things, other than stuff I don't want to grow, it is booming. I don't understand that, honestly. I don't get it. We have this grass in front of our house, and Mike Waters and Brother Chase planted it, I don't know how many years ago, and it was just a little sprout of whatever that grass stuff is. It's taken over our whole front at times. We cut it back, and it just gets bigger. We cut it back, and it gets bigger. And so I don't understand farming very well and don't get it that well, but I understand this. Makes sense. But you see, when your eyes only can see materialism and not spiritual truth, when your eyes or your ears can only hear materialism, okay, I can see that we're not making a whole lot of money here. I can see the first three are going to go bankrupt. Okay. I can see the first three, they're going to go hungry. Their guts are going to growl. They're not going to have anything. But he's not trying to tell them that. He's trying to teach him a spiritual truth. And what is the key to the whole thing? The key is the good ground, of which they didn't have any ground at all because they were not interested in receiving the seed that he was planting. They couldn't grasp the truth. What's in this to make me money? What's in this to make me happy? What's in this to, you know? No, the key is what he said in verse 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I ask you tonight, are you saved? Because if you're saved, you have ears that can hear. You can get it. You can understand it. You see, it's why there's so many religious people are lost in our world today. Because religion will make people, and so much of religion today, it's just making people feel good. And that appeals to the material, the materialistic. Perhaps the largest religion in the world is the religion of humanism, and it's all about making humans feel good. It totally rejects all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number one, the lost majority require materialism, which excludes the truth. Number two, the learning multitude desire milk, which explains the truth. The learning multitude. Now, it's a multitude. In fact, nearly 250 references in the Bible talk about a multitude. A multitude. Often the multitude is lost, but many times, like verses 33 and 34, if you'll look at that, it's talking about many, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And some of these, many of these, were Christian people. They were all of the people around, many of them were saved, but they weren't necessarily his disciples. This is most Christians. It's sad, but this is most Christians. They're saved, they're on their way to heaven, but notice 1 Peter 2, verse 2. And this is true. This is always going to be true. And again, it's not up to us to say, well, you obviously are not saved because that's between them and God. But the Bible does say this. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I believe this is most Christians. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. And just like a baby, they desire milk. Boy, that little baby wants that milk. Gotta have that milk. And a Christian that is just saved, whether they express it or talk about it, deep down, God has put within them a desire for the milk of the Word of God. They desire milk, and it explains the truth. It just takes them down a path. When I first got saved, I was clueless. I knew how to be saved. I knew nothing about Christianity. I didn't know anything about it. But I wanted to learn things. And here, all but his disciples, they're listening to these parables. And like a baby, they desire milk. The parables, those stories told to explain. Jesus didn't tell it to confuse anybody. He's explaining a spiritual truth. The parable here, he's just saying the good ground. I mean, you and I can read that and we'll say, well, yeah, he's talking about I need to be ready to receive the word of God. If I'm not ready, if number one, I'm not saved, I'm not going to receive the word. Number two, if I'm shallow, if it doesn't, the seed doesn't take root or very good root, it's not going to last very long and I'm not going to grow. Or if I'm worldly, I'm certainly not going to be able to grow the way God wants me to. But I need to have good ground when I come to church. I need to be right with God when I come to church. I need to be right with God as I read my Bible. I need to get right with God. I want to grow. And those parables, those stories that explain those spiritual truths, once you're saved, we can get it. It starts to click. It starts to make sense. It starts to, oh yeah, wow, that makes sense. And over, Jesus spoke parables to a multitude of believers who needed the truth. It's why God put in a new convert, and you know, he put that desire in a new convert. They're babies. You must be born again. The picture of a little baby, and he puts that desire for milk, not a T-bone steak, milk. Amen. And little babies have a real hard time with T-bone steak, but they do very well with milk. Why? Because the Bible's the answer to all problems. Every problem you have, every need, every issue. Jesus spoke simply so they could grow on their milk. They had no spiritual teeth to chew. They had to have milk. In fact, the Bible says, verse 34, without a parable spake he not unto them. Just, you know, again, the lost, we understand. They're not interested. They don't want it. But a new Christian, God makes it simple for the simple. And so he compares salvation with a drink. Are you thirsty? And you know, when I first got saved, Brother Hawkins, I could understand that. I was thirsty. And as a new Christian, I can remember grasping as I thought about being thirsty and hunger and thirst after righteousness. And God said he would fill me. I could understand that. That's not hard. That's not deep. He compared our salvation with going through a door. You know, Jesus said, I'm the door. Wow, that's what I did. And it made me understand that salvation is a decision that I made. And you can choose the wrong door. But there is only one door. And we go back and we read about Noah's Ark and there was just one door. And I understand that. As a new Christian, that makes sense. He compared our salvation with marriage. Dolores mentioned that at the reception yesterday. And marriage is such a beautiful picture of salvation. But being a pastor and being, you know, you see a couple up here. Do you choose her? Do you choose him? Do it. You know, I understand that. I can understand. I can understand. He chose me. I chose him. That's how I got saved. And I can grow. He compares our relationship to him. He uses two oxen. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Wait a minute, rest and yoke? A yoke is a work device. Oh yeah, but I'm yoked up with him. Yeah, I can understand that. And he gives an illustration here, a story about sowing the seed, and we see it. The key is the ground. Nothing wrong with the seed. The seed's bringing 430, 60, 100. I mean, the seed is perfect seed. But the ground. The ground. And as a new Christian, you know, sucking on that bottle like a little baby. Amen? As a new Christian, starting to grasp what it is to be a child of the King. You know? There's so many things that he talks about. A parable in verse 21 of chapter 4. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to set on a candlestick? And I say, wow, I get that. Why'd you buy the candle? Well, I bought it because I want to light it and hide it. Really? Yeah. Why'd you buy your flashlight? Well, because I'm going to turn it on and put it in the drawer. Why'd you buy your lantern? Well, because I want to light it and then I want to hide it. That isn't why we buy that. That's not why we light that candle. We light that candle to put it on a candlestick so everybody can see it. Not so it's hidden. What's God want? He wants me to shine. He doesn't want me to be lit and hide. That's good, isn't it? And here's the thing. You know, the only problem with milk is God made us to get tired of milk. Only. I still like milk, don't you? I still drink milk. I like it, you know. But it's been a long time ago since I sucked on a bottle. Been a long time. But I still drink milk every now and then. But I really like meat. And God made me to always love the milk. But he wants me to get more than milk. I'm going to tell you, folks, God wants you to get more than milk too. Because we're made to need more than just milk. We are made to need the meat. Too many have been saved for years and years and you're still sucking on a bottle. And no wonder so many say, I'm just not content. No wonder so many walk away and say, phooey on this. I'm going to tell you, it'd be just like at 30 years old if the only thing you get at the restaurant everywhere you go is they come out and say, I'm sorry, sir, I know you ordered steak, but here's your supper, and it's a bottle of milk. And you go over to your mom's house to visit, and she says, okay, son, here's your meal. Mom, is it spaghetti and meatballs? Well, son, no, here's your milk. Do I have to drink it out of the bottle? Yes. Obviously, you don't have the teeth to handle the meat. And you go to McDonald's, and sure enough, you know, or you go to Burger King, they say, have it your way. And you say, oh, yeah, great, here's what I want. You know, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, and all that kind of stuff. And two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. That's what I want right there. Is that McDonald's? I don't know. It's one of them. And you say, I'll take five of those. They say, fantastic, wonderful. And they come out, and here on the tray, there's your bottle of milk. You say, I'm tired of this. I got to have more. You do have to have more. You do. You have to have more. By the way, we always want to blame them, but that's the menu. Do you understand? When Jesus, well, this is going to make somebody mad. When Jesus preached, this is how he preached right here. He preached, most of his preaching was very basic preaching. It's very simple. He said that. Parables. I mean, he got up in front of the masses, the crowds, and the unsaved were out there. He spoke in parables. The new converts, the new Christians, they're out there. He spoke in parables. His disciples, these men are going to go out and they're going to blaze a trail of the gospel and do great things for God. But they heard the message. It was the parables. Same messages. Number one, the lost majority require materialism, which excludes the truth. They're really not interested. The learning multitude desire milk, which explains the truth. But number three, the leaning minority acquire meat, which expands the truth. The leaning minority. I'm just about done. Jesus spoke in parables to all of them. Come on. I mean, Peter, James, John, what are they listening to? The sower went forth to sow. They're listening to the same thing that Poindexter, Cletus, and Throckmorton are listening to. They're hearing the same thing. Jesus preaches, and I mean, I'm talking about he's preaching the Word of God, and he's speaking in parables, and the truths are beautiful, and they're wonderful truths, and some of the people say, I don't want all that. Some of the people are saying, hey, yeah, that's pretty neat. I kind of like that. And the disciples, though, they're listening, and they're saying, I think there's more to it. I think there's something else in that. I think there's some more. And look what he says in verse 34. Chapter 4, 34. Without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. The leaning minority acquire meat.
I understand, Pastor doesn't give us meat.
Jesus didn't give meat to the multitude. Jesus preached to everybody the Word of God. Well, where'd they get their meat? When they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. When they were alone. That means they were with him. That means when they were with him, it became more in-depth teaching. You say, well, yeah, but he's not here to... Listen to me. If we don't start walking with God, we are going to be a bunch of milky Christians. It's look, there's... Yes, there is more effort. Yes, there is more time. The lost, we're not interested in this stuff. Come on, it doesn't make sense. What kind of a story? This guy's supposed to be a great speaker. What in the world is he doing? I mean, he didn't entertain me at all. He's talking about seed being scattered, birds eating it, and the rocks. You know, it rots on the rock, and then it's among thorns. It doesn't work. And okay, one farmer was successful. Great. That means one out of four are going to make money, and the others aren't. I mean, what's this all about? And they walk away. The new Christian, you know, he says, hey, I understand this, and wow, you know, that's pretty good. But then some said, we want to hear more. And they get alone with him. Takes more effort, takes more time. That's why the Berean Christians, the Bible said they were more noble. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily to see that it's so. When you're searching the Scriptures daily, it's you and him. Should be. You and him. I it's always a compliment. Pastor, could you explain this? That's a nice thing, and I don't mind trying to explain, but I can tell you this, I guarantee I can't explain it as well as the author. Never can, never will, and I won't be able to explain it to your soul like he will. You know when I'm getting the meat of the word, Brother Hawkins, it's when I'm alone with the Lord. That's when I'm getting to meet. I love going to preaching meetings. I love hearing preaching. I look forward to conferences and different things. I'm looking forward to next Sunday, and that's all going to be good, and we're going to hear a lot of good things. But I promise you this, all it's going to be is some milk unless you get alone with Jesus. You say, Jesus, make this what I need. It's my next step. It's your next step. Alone. Hey, you know, key word. In the book of John, the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, key word, the word no. Not a strange word to John, because John described himself as he describes himself. I'm the disciple who leaned on Jesus. I'm the one leaning on Jesus. You want to take a picture of all the disciples? There's me. I'm the one leaning on Jesus. That's me, John. Hey, John, Give me a word that means a lot to you. Oh, the word no. Why? Well, because John also referred to himself as something else. He called himself this. What's that? He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. How do you know, John? Because I can hear his heartbeat. Yes, I lean on him. Everybody else has other things going on, but I'm right up there close and I hear his heartbeat. And he loves me. Oh, he loves me so much. Can you imagine? You're writing and you refer to your, hey, I'm the one. I'm the one Jesus loves. Now, the truth is Jesus loved all of us. He loves us all. But John said, I don't know how to describe my relationship except Jesus is the vine. He's life. Are you listening to me, Christian? He's life. You say, well, I listen to the Bible, and you do, and praise God for milk. But you want to really get some meat. He wants to expound all things to you. And it's when we're alone. It's our time with him. John, how do you know you're the disciple Jesus loved? It's because I lean on him. How can we know he loves us? Lean on him. Fooey with Christians being depressed. Fooey with Christians being lonely. Fooey with Christians being discontent. I'm telling you, it is a shame. When I think of John, I'm the guy Jesus loves. How do you know, John? Because I leaned on him. And on the Isle of Patmos, I'm leaning on him. Wait a minute, John, you're not with anybody there. That's where you're wrong, buddy. Hey, Paul, what are you doing in jail? I'm rejoicing. Well, how could you possibly be rejoicing? I'm just growing in the Lord. Wait a minute, how are you growing? There's no Bible preaching. There's no conference going on there. You don't even have a Bible in there. Oh, but I have the author. How are you growing, Paul? How can you write, rejoice in the Lord always? But because I'm feasting. I'm feasting on the manna. I'm drinking from the fountain. I mean, I'm leaning on Jesus. And every time somebody says to me, maybe you want to write me a note, I'm not being fed, then you've just confessed that you're not spending time with Jesus. You're not alone with Jesus. Because I tell you this, he wants to expound all things to you. I got it underlined in my Bible. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. He wants to expound all things to you. And the lost majority don't get it. The learning multitude, they get it and they like the milk, but they need more. They need meat. And the leaning minority, they acquire the meat. How do they get it? By leaning on Jesus, and they get all they need from God. Well, I'm just not having my needs met. You just confessed. You're not leaning on Jesus. I close with number four. Number one, the lost majority require materialism, which excludes the truth. Number two, the learning multitude desire milk, which explains the truth. Number three, the leaning minority acquire meat, which expands the truth. Number four, the loving messengers inspire maturity, which extols the truth. Hebrews 6, verse 1, and I'm done. Hebrews 6. And verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What's that? That's milk. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. What's he say? He says, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on unto perfection. Let's go on unto maturity. Let's go on and be what God wants us to be. It's more than just sitting in a pew for 25 years. It is so much more than that. It's more than just, well, you know, I've been a Sunday school teacher pretty much all my life. It's more than that. It's more than being a pastor for years. It's more than playing a piano, more than singing songs. More, well, I've served in church all my life. It's more than that. You know what it is? It's all about, God, tell me, teach me, show me. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, those times you can't sleep. Forget the dumb television set. Get on your knees and just say, God, show me, teach me. It's open up your Bible. And you know, Lord, the preacher preached on this. And you know, I didn't understand. So, God, you're the author. Show me. Holy Spirit of God, guide me, please. Guide me. It's before you walk in those doors, you just kind of whisper, or maybe driving in, you just whisper, Holy Spirit, please guide me into the truth. Dear Father, show me what you want me to learn tonight. Please, Father, all through college, I didn't have a clue. I'm still not sure if I have a clue. But it's constantly, God, I want to know. I want to understand. I want to know you. I want to be what you want me to be. And as I was in college and all these people around me, they grew up in church and the preacher would say, turn to Deuteronomy. And I'd think, what is a Deuteronomy? And I was ashamed. God, you called me to preach. I don't even know what a Deuteronomy is. Could you show me? Father, could you show me? And see, the milk's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't that great? I like cookies and milk. Haven't had it in a while. But I'll tell you, the meat. There's some old-timers in this church. Been saved a lot of years. They've chewed on a lot of the meat. You can see the difference. You can see it when trials come. You can see it when testing comes. You can see it when hurt comes. You can tell. You can tell somebody who, you know, trials come and they reach for their bottle, and I'm not talking about Budweiser. You know, I ain't going to do it. It's not going to do it. Oh, it's not going to do it. It won't do it. And you know what will happen? You'll mess up your life. I beg you, I plead with you, be one of those that when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.